This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Well, we're rounding the bend on the end of March, which means many bleary-eyed sports fans are looking back at their brackets and wondering, where did I get it wrong? For basketball addicts, picking March Madness brackets is about loyalty and love of the game. And for others, it's gut. Still others, it's data. And that is the province of 538.com, which recently collaborated with Fictionless on a video comparing strategies. Neil Payne is with us from 538. Hi, Neil.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, and I just adored this video. Let's hear a clip. This is from the introduction of the video, Breaking the Bracket.
I'm Sam Holtz. I'm 13 years old. I live in Lake Zurich, Illinois, and they call me the Bracket Boy.
I'm Amanda Shears, I'm 47. I live in Berkshire in England, and I'm the top-ranked data scientist in the UK.
I'm Jimmy Vaccaro. I'm 70 years old. I've been in Las Vegas 41 years. I'm the odds maker for the South Point Hotel and Casino, and I'm damn good at it.
So what do these three have in common?
So the thing that all three had in common was that they were pretty successful at picking the NCAA tournament brackets last year.
So let's talk about the difference in their approaches. Sam Holtz, the 13-year-old from Illinois, how'd he do it?
So it seemed like Sam used kind of gut instinct as his basic algorithm, if you could call it that. He said he picked on teams that he liked, that he had seen play. Obviously, he didn't have time, you know, as a high school student, didn't have time to watch obsessively and see every single game. So he probably caught a few games during the conference tournaments and throughout the year, and he kind of formed his opinion based on that and some things that he had, like, read or heard or around the internet and on TV. So that's kind of the gut feel approach of picking teams.
I admit I kind of fell in love with Amanda Shears, the data scientist.
Oh, yes.
She knew nothing about college ball. How did she even find out about March Madness?
I think it was part of a contest that they have. You know, they have these machine learning contests where data scientists like Amanda go and they try to just are given data. It doesn't even matter what the topic is. I think her main data research, purview was about cancer research and trying to kind of take all of this medical data and predict the effectiveness of a drug at treating cancer. But in order to kind of practice, they'll use sports data often in these competitions. And so she got into it that way, and she is using these very powerful algorithms and machine learning techniques. She did that, and it ended up working out very well for her.
It's so funny. She says, I didn't know Kentucky had a team. I thought that's where we got our chicken.
Yeah, she was definitely a great character in that video.
But what was she actually looking for?
So, I mean, she's looking, and in fact, all of them are looking for what is the best predictor. And one of the best ways to figure that out is to look at what were the best predictors in the past, which factors were. And in Amanda's case, it was about, you know, looking at which specific stats about each team correlated best to having it do well in the tournament. And so she found a particular algorithm that when you took each team's sort of relevant data points and plugged them in to her formula could give you better predictions about who would win when the teams played in March.
So three-pointers, fouls, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, trying to figure out characteristics of winning teams, basically.
But it's not straight data in Vegas. So what do Jimmy and his cohort bring to this?
So Vegas almost has the best of all possible worlds because they definitely use data models, and he talks about it in the video also of, like, you come up with a power rating for each team, and it represents the intrinsic ability of the team. And so that's how they kind of set their opening lines on the tournament games. But then people start to actually bet, and they vote on how accurate your predictions were with their dollars. And Vegas is able to tweak up and down their lines that they set for each game based on how people are voting. So they're using what's called the wisdom of the crowds, in essence, and that's proven to be very accurate as an estimate. If you get a bunch of people who have a committed stake to getting things right, and in this case it's money, then you can kind of get more information. So they're using data and they're using the public's gut feel or whatever people use to bet.
Well, I found it pretty surprising after looking at the numbers. For example, Amanda found that teams with shorter players were more successful. That was a shocker.
Yeah, that's an example of one of those things that the machine learning algorithms are really good at finding, and it's all about trying to find counterintuitive things if you're in one of these competitions against other people, because if you think about it, the other people that you're competing against, they have the same data as you, they have kind of the same principles as you in terms of trying to find the best predictive things. So sometimes you have to go sort of off the reservation and try to find something that's predictive, as long as it's supported by the data and by historical precedent. You know, in March Madness, protecting the ball is very important, and having dynamic point guards is very important. So the data might be picking that up as a proxy for this point guard effect, and that's why it shows up as if your team is shorter, then you have a better chance of winning, all other things being controlled for.
Well, you're the numbers guy. Is it possible, or has anyone ever picked a perfect bracket?
The odds of a perfect bracket are very low. I think it's 1 in 4 trillion, and that's if you use a model like we have here at 538, which just tries to take into account all of the different power ratings, and we give probabilistic picks for each game. So if you picked our favorite in every single game, and then you played the bracket out, you'd have to have 4 trillion tries at it to get one perfect bracket. And if you did coin flips on every single game, I think the number comes out to 1 in 9.2 quintillion. I don't actually even know how many zeros that is, but it gets pretty astronomically improbable, which is why Warren Buffett, when he offered the $1 billion to anyone that could fill out a perfect bracket, I think he probably slept pretty soundly that night. He wasn't too worried about someone winning that money.
All right. How about you, Neil? Looking at the 3 approaches, which one of these would you bet on?
You know, I feel in a lot of cases that Vegas is the best predictor. Although I have a huge amount of respect for the other two, you know, there's a reason why people usually, when they play against the house usually wins. And it's because it's so difficult to beat Vegas and out-predict their models that they have.
Neil Payne, senior sports writer for 538.com. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You can find a link to watch the very short and delightful video Breaking the Bracket from 538.com and Fictionless. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.